The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, a very special guest on God Calling and his wife, Trapper Jack, joining us, a longtime radio host here in the Cleveland area, and Elizabeth, his wife. I'm kind of surrounded by radio greatness in here. Dan Dealey is our production director, and I think he did afternoons, you did mornings at one point in time at the same station.
Once upon a time, St. Paul. Do I sound okay? Is this level still
you
okay?
You sound perfect, as always.
Perfect. Okay, very good. All right. Well, anyway, good to be, we just kind of ran into each other recently, and so here we are.
At one of your talks, which I would strongly recommend to anybody that's interested. We'll start a little bit with your vacation story, and then we like vocation story, and then or that too.
I need one of those.
Vacation sounds great.
Yeah. And then we can also, let's talk about the marriage vocation as well.
Okay.
I would love to do that. But you had probably one of the most unique vocation story I've ever heard.
Really?
You got your first radio job, and you left the house.
Yeah. Well, I had just gotten into radio at that big $1.65 an hour thing way back when.
Yeah.
And sounds like caveman times, you know. And Dad and I were having a conversation at dinner, and I was grew up in the Catholic faith, was either at a Catholic school or getting some kind of catechism at the time. But it was one of those classic cases of, Dad, I'm just not getting anything out of the Mass, so I'm not going to go to Mass tomorrow. And he said, then you're not living under my roof. I can't imagine any dad even saying that now. But at the time, that he was dead serious. And I'm thinking, 1 hour a week. Can I put up with 1 hour a week, go to Mass, even though I just about hated all of it, bored me to tears. And over 1 hour, I left.
Wow.
I just left. Got a real cheap apartment, and I was just – so I was into radio. I was into the world, and I was out of the church and stayed that way until I met this lovely lady about 15 years later. And she dragged me back into the church. But, I still wasn't in it. So that's why I say I was really kind of gone for 30 years. I was in the building, but I still didn't understand the cross. Things look pretty much the same after as before. Jesus, did you do anything? You know, kind of one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I just was not getting it. Homilies bouncing off the head. But interestingly, as I think I mentioned at the talk you heard, I always believed in the Eucharist. I believe that that bread was Jesus Christ always.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't care about Jesus, what difference does it make what it is? And,
yeah.
And so there was no relationship, so bye-bye.
Elizabeth, it sounds like you had a little bit of catechesis to tackle.
A little bit.
How'd you meet?
In a park.
All right.
During lunch. He actually was new to Pittsburgh. He was the new morning guy. And I was really good friends with the general manager. We were in an organization together on a board. So I went to see what was going on. They used to do lunch in the park. I don't remember.
Party
what
in the
called.
Park.
Party in the park.
Every Friday.
Every Friday.
Yep.
Okay.
Sure.
So, and I was in the business. I was a media director, so I was at an ad agency, so all that kind of fun stuff. But I didn't like him. He was rude.
She's talking about on the air.
I will clarify, on the air.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't like his MO. You know, it didn't really settle, so I wasn't really impressed to meet him. But he grew on me.
I was not the family-friendly radio show, though.
Ah, okay.
Definitely not what he brought to Cleveland.
Yeah.
My wife turned me down three times before I finally got a first date.
Oh, so, really? Wow.
All right, then.
Yeah. We're just magnetic personalities, aren't we, Trapper? Because we're on the radio.
You know, and I asked her out to lunch, and it's funny. I remember she showed up where we met at a cafe or something, and I just remember her hair. It was just pulled back so tight, like a librarian or something. And I just looked at the entire lunch. I'm thinking, man, that's got to hurt. It just looked painful. It's like, my gosh, she's got to let that down sometime, doesn't she? It took a while. It took a little while.
You know? He grew on me.
Yeah. Well, we talk about how we didn't like each other for a while. So we got that out of the way. A lot of people in marriages, they get that later when they don't like each other. Exactly. We got rid of that right away. You know, we went through that period and then started liking each other and falling in love and stuff, you know.
How long did this whole process take?
About a week and a half.
Elizabeth.
I think it was a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
A couple of years. We dated. We weren't exclusive. We, like, you know,
yeah,
hung out for lunch or dinner here or there, a movie here or there. And, you know, it's like I was coming off a divorce. I had my marriage annulled. And I really was not keen on guys. You know, mm-hmm. It's kind of those things. It's like, I don't need them. Don't want them.
Yeah.
I'm cool on my own. So he had to break through that wall first.
When did you first bring up the idea of, hey, why don't you come to church with me?
Well, I brought it up because he was coming to Thanksgiving at my family's house. And the tradition was mom stayed home and cooked in the morning, got things rolling, and the whole family went to Mass. And then we came back for the day of Thanksgiving and
dinner
and whatever. So it's like, okay, you know what? Here's the deal. We're going to Mass. You got to come with me. But what he didn't know was, as we were going, and this was the church I grew up in Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania. And as we went up, Pastor greeted us as we were going in, and he knew the family, because my dad, my grandparents, everybody were from that parish.
Mm-hmm.
So he started handing us cans of food to be in the entrance procession. Not knowing him, he goes, handed him one, too, because he was with us.
After 15 years outside the church, I'm coming up there, and this guy's going, here's a can of cream of corn, whatever it was. And then he starts talking about, now you walk down the middle of, you know, down the aisle, up to the altar, I'm going, and I'm looking up at God like, oh, you are something. You know, it's like, I mean, you know, welcome back, you know, one of these things. And it was an interesting reacquaintance to the church.
Yeah. And then you started going pretty regularly, I guess, as you guys got more serious?
Yeah.
Yes. Because, you know, even though I had my ups and downs with everything and going through the divorce was pretty painful and everything, I still kept trucking along. I didn't leave the faith. Plus, I don't know if I was more afraid of my mom and dad, even though I wasn't living at home anymore. But you went to Mass regardless. And I'm the oldest of eight. We were the families that processed in, got in the pew, sat there angelically, you know, did everything we were told. And so I think because that was instilled in me, no matter what I was going through, Mass on Sundays was important.
Mm-hmm. And then how long did you date before you married?
Oh, three years.
Three and a half years, maybe.
Yeah.
Now, had the spark hit you by then, Trapper?
Yeah, there was something there. There was something there, obviously.
The religious spark, I guess. Did it take a little longer?
So. You know, we moved over here. A program director from Cleveland was driving through Pittsburgh and said, there's my morning guy. And so I came over here and immediately loved the job. We had just gotten married. So now we're going to church over here. And it was still a slow go for another dozen years before things. I finally started meeting people and the right people and getting directed the right way. And then things started making sense to me. And then I was all in. But it took another dozen years.
Mm-hmm. Trapper Jack is with us, along with his wife, Elizabeth. We'll be back on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. We hope you'll stay tuned right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski with Trapper Jack, a longtime familiar voice here in Cleveland, and who does now a lot of, I guess you'd call it evangelization, speaking about his call and his wife, Elizabeth. And we're talking right now about their call, their call to marriage. I've dragged my wife here to Cleveland as well from upstate New York. And so, you know, we've rooted here. But did something change here as far as for you, Trapper? I mean, was there a particular pastor or just you said you were starting to get the faith?
Yeah. Well, what happened was in August of 1999, I was, I had the great job. I was working at 102 WDOK. Dan Dealey was somewhere in that history. I just remember there was this one particular Sunday. And I was just so down. I had a great job, great family, great wife, great kids. How come I'm not feeling so great? You know, and I'm thinking, you know, do I need a new job? Do I need a different city? Do I need a different wife and kid? Do I need new kids? What do I need? I really didn't know. And I was crying. It was a Sunday afternoon, and they weren't in the house. I was just, and I literally just flung a prayer, and I said, I don't know what I'm missing, but you do. Bring it on. I literally said it out loud. Just bring it on. And a few months later, I met someone you're familiar with, probably Dr. Isam Naimi, and he's a doctor, but he prays and things happen. I think he's a living saint. He and his wife both. I met them, and they just totally redirected me to the reality that everything that we read about in the Bible is still happening today. Jesus never stopped healing, never stopped sending his angels, never stopped divine intervention. And I began to see God in my life. And when I looked back on that day when I was sending out the prayer in tears, it was August 15th. Mm-hmm. And that, obviously, the Feast of the Assumption, Mary's fingerprints. And I kept seeing Mary's fingerprints over at key moments. And you heard me mention at the talk, there was one night where I got my vision back for a minute. And my whole bedroom was just illuminated for 1 minute. And then the darkness came back in. And that was December 8th, 2003. So I just kept seeing Mary, 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 and God just kept sending Mary to me, and he seduced me with those kinds of experiences and just reeled me in. And so then I was just completely all in.
Clearly been dealt some hardships, you know, with your loss of sight.
When that happened?
Yeah.
I was fine when I walked in here.
Yeah, that's right.
I was just shocked.
Yeah, look, Elizabeth, your call to marriage has to present challenges, but at the same point in time, I suspect maybe draws you closer.
It does. I mean, there is no doubt there's lots of challenges. It was very difficult when we had two little kids and he was going blind and the vision was progressive. So mm-hmm. It continued to deteriorate. So there were many times when I found myself being the only parent because I was doing all the driving. I was doing, you know. So,
sure.
Yeah, there were challenges.
Not that I didn't try. I would stick the white cane out the driver's side window, do a little clicking. People do clear. Kind of Moses Red Sea-ish. You know?
Yeah, look out and get out of his way.
Not when I was home.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can never take the morning man out of the morning man.
I know.
No. No. You guys think he's like this all the time, but when he's home, he's quiet as a mouse.
Oh, dear. But again, in many ways, I suspect drew you closer.
Yes, it did, because we had to learn to do things together differently, probably than other couples and everything. So, yeah, ups and downs, but through the years. And then after he retired from DOK and we started doing the podcasting, everything changed, you know, because now it's like we are a team and he can't do it without me. So he says,
We were kind of going parallel, both in our own faith ways, but kind of in a parallel journey. And uh-huh. then when radio kind of wrapped up and we just kind of merged, if you will.
Yeah.
And now, you know, as you saw, I'm out there speaking and we do the Touched by Heaven podcast and everything. And she suddenly becomes this webmaster. She suddenly is doing things she never dreamed she'd have to be doing on the uh-huh. technical end. I'm having all the fun like you are right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's the one trying to make it work on the other end. You know?
Yeah. And there are podcasts out there. I think you do one daily.
I do a weekly. I do a weekly thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Touched by Heaven, Everyday Encounters with God. And we started doing this 3 years ago. It was funny. I thought it would be great to do a podcast in which all the participants would be people who contacted me who had encounters with angels or something miraculous or a divine intervention or maybe a vision of Jesus or Mary or whatever. And I thought, I knew I had one great story. The question was, would I get anything off of that? Would I have enough listenership that others would contact me? Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, I told Beth what I was thinking about doing, and she said, that's a great idea. It's really the best you've had so far. You know, pray on it. And I decided, well, I got to do something more powerful than prayer. And I said, Alexa, what's today's Bible verse? And literally, Alexa said, today's Bible verse is commit to the Lord in whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. And I went, okay. So I did that one great story that I knew about a friend of mine who a guy shot at him from literally 6 feet away. Mm. He was sitting in his car, and the guy wanted his car. 6 feet away, and the bullet hits the window and bounces off. It actually kind of bounced sideways and put a hole through the metal part of the door. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And when he went to his physics teacher and said, how did that just happen? He said, well, it's easy. Somebody up there likes you. You know. But anyway, that first story is what – and then I started hearing from people all around the world with their own story. And these are people who there's no question they experienced something pretty special. So – 180 plus episodes of that kind of encounter, you know, so loving it.
How different is that type of broadcasting, podcasting? Because you might get something from Buenos Aires or from who knows where, and they've all had different backgrounds, different faith experiences. Do you have to change from being the morning guy at WDOK?
Yeah, I'm not, you know, there's some humor in it, obviously, because that's who I am, but it's still, you get to the God stuff and it's like, you know, it's real. It's just it's real. And some of the more interesting ones of late have to do with Protestants We have a lot of Protestants praying the rosary now because they understand the power of it. Because I talk Catholic things, even though it's not technically a Catholic podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I welcome everybody in, you know. Catholics and Protestants have same experiences. But lately, it's the Protestants who seem to be coming and sharing their experiences. A gal by the name of Vicky, for example. This gal, Vicky, she's dealing with migraines, horrible migraines. And she hears a voice, a woman's voice, that says, go to the Catholic Church. She's not Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Drives to the Catholic Church, goes in. It's cavernous. It's open. Nobody's there. She doesn't realize that Jesus is in the tabernacle. And she just starts praying, walks up to the ambo, starts looking through the book. She keeps coming back over time. She gets to understand that Jesus is in the tabernacle. She gets another nudge to go to Medjugorje. She gets her healing there. She gets her miracle. Her migraines go away. And that she takes as the sign to go into RCIA. And she's now a Catholic.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I hear that kind of thing all the time. But I also hear from former Catholics who become Protestants, and they don't begin their relationship with Jesus until they're in some other faith. So it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Jesus wants is a relationship. However that happens, that's what he's looking for.
Trapper, stay right there. Beth, stay right there. We're going to be back on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. You're on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Welcome back to God Calling. You're listening to AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is Paul Orlowski with Trapper Jack, familiar voice for many years here in Cleveland, his wife Beth. And Beth, in discussing a lot of this, Trapper had some unique experiences. As he grew, did that help you grow even deeper?
Oh, absolutely. The best part is meeting these people when he's out talking and having one-on-one conversations with them. And just the authenticity of when they're telling their stories and stuff, it's just, you can't help but be moved by it. All of those stories, of course, strengthen our relationship with God, and sharing them with others the same.
There's an elderly priest who passed away, but a friend of mine, Father Beckerer, he was 96 years old, and he said he was the marriage counselor for the diocese for about 25 years. He said, you know, a lot of people like weddings, they just don't like being married.
There's some truth in that sometimes.
you got to work at it. And through some challenges, and the answer is right there for us. It takes us all a different path to get there, I suppose, Trevor.
It does, and I think, you know, isn't that the virtue? You know, people a lot of times, for some people, they have issues with forgiveness issues.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And there's just no way of advancing without being able to forgive. I mean, it's in there. Our Father is just so key. However, on a day to day basis, it's the patience. It's the knowing. Trapper, just shut up. Just, you know, because she's got one of those moods going right now. Just
shut up.
We did I got to tell you, it was like last week, there was this period of time we were going to do something for the podcast or whatever it was. And she forgot that we were going to do this. 3 hours passed. It's now game time for the Browns. At that moment, well, aren't we going to do that? And I'm going, do I put up a fight? Bite your tongue? and we proceeded to do what's... we should have been doing 3 hours before.
Uh-huh.
And I bit my tongue, and this is the first time she heard about it.
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
I know. See how good I was? It's all about patience, Paul. It's
Saint,
all about
Saint
patience.
Trapper.
Saint Trapper.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's all patience.
You talked about this. This is a funny story. Mm. You're always asked, where did the name come from?
Because all the good names were taken. actually, that was a Pittsburgh thing. I literally got off the plane. I'd come from Seattle. There I was, Jack Elliott. My real name is Philip Keller. So I get off the plane, and the program director says, there are so many dinosaur shows here that have been here forever. We need to make you memorable quickly. Mm-hmm. So the staff voted. It could have been Captain Jack, Panama Jack, Slim Jack, Diamond Jack, Cracker Jack. But because of the old MASH series, yep, and all those things, and Trapper John MD, so... that's what the staff voted in. So, but basically, the good names were taken. Yeah. See, but it's worked. It makes it memorable. Yeah.
People, they call you Mrs. Trapper?
Oh, Mrs. Trapper. I probably have more aliases than he does.
Yeah.
You're working evangelization now, giving all these talks. They're very popular talks. I know at St. Joseph's and Avon Lake, it was a big crowd. And everybody thoroughly enjoyed it. As well as that chicken sandwich was very good.
Yeah, it was. The chicken sandwich was very I love it. I love it. As much as I loved radio, and I love the listeners, but by the time radio was done, there was such a relief of, I don't have to talk about the Kardashians. Thank you, Jesus. And you see the impact of faith. The experiences we talk to people about in the Touched by Heaven series, they're life-changing. This is how many of them came to God. this is the away. This is the flare gun, as I call it. God shooting off the flare gun, saying, "Did you see what I just did there?" And it wakes them up, and either draws them into the relationship or draws them deeper into a relationship. I feel like the 40 years of radio that I did, and God does like the number 40, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
When I was out there in the desert for 40 years, and then the promised land is the heaven is really seeing the life changing experiences that truly matter in people's lives. I love it.
And Beth, how much technical stuff did you have to pick up in order to do this? I mean, it was work. It was, but thank God you did it.
I did. And it's challenging. It continues to be challenging. But as we get more comfortable with it, you know, I just try to make the best of it. There's sometimes like when the computer blows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a nice crash. That was
huge crash. Yeah. We had to start over, get a new computer. So we were 2 weeks off. That was crazy. You know, I just try to embrace it. It's above my pay grade, I keep telling you. it's totally above my pay grade. Yeah. But I muddle through, get people to assist us. But in addition to doing all of that, you know, we do the broadcast and everything, but we also, our patrons are the people that support us. We do regular emails, monthly emails, and we get a lot of response back from the e-cards that we send, which is always some kind of an inspirational, personal, you know, note to them. And so, you know, growing the ministry comes about in a whole lot of different ways.
Plus, she is in charge of enhancements at St. Bernadette Church. So the flowers, the call it decorations, whatever, to make the church look good.
Yeah.
You know, Elizabeth does that as well.
Wonderful.
We're both on liturgical. So, you know, there's little fingers everywhere, you know.
No, it's at St. Joseph's. It was during a weekday, during the day. An older crowd, a lot of retired folks.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had much success reaching the younger people? Do you give talks to the younger people? Because, you know, when I was coming up, the catechesis was because I said so, as opposed to an understanding.
You know, like, and we just did confirmation at St. Joseph's.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Right.
And that was interesting because they happened to be 14-year-olds. And Beth was so funny. She said, normally at a talk, you can tell by how quiet they are, their faces, and you can read a crowd. Now, the blind guy, I read the crowd by noise.
Sure.
If they're not making a noise, I figure they're listening, you know. Elizabeth can see the faces. She says, 14-year-olds, they're just blank. It's like, is it getting in there? Is it not? It's a tough age. And so when I addressed them, I here's the way I woke them up. I said, yes, you're going to be confirmed by the bishop. That's wonderful. But this really is, guys, the beginning of you leaving the church. And they look at me like, what? Mm-hmm. Later, a parent said, oh, we're talking reality here. And then I told them why I left and what brought me back. And what they'll be missing if they do go away, because most of them will. And so I come from a totally different viewpoint, a totally different mystical area of here's what brought me back and the amazing things, the dazzling things God is doing today.
Deacon Harold Burke Sivers was on our program. He called confirmation Catholic graduation.
Mm.
And for so many people, you know, it kind of is. I never heard that term before, but then thank God many come back.
It doesn't have to be that way. I'm convinced.
Yeah.
I am convinced. Because what brought me, if I knew what I talk about as a teenager, if I knew about Eucharistic miracles and Our Lady of Guadalupe and the science within all of that I have never heard a priest say at a homily yet, to be honest with you. If you package Our Lady of Guadalupe all by itself in conversion of 9 million pagans who became Catholics like that and were going to Mass and everything that I didn't know about, that's not the thing that is the relationship, but that's the part where that woke me up, and then that drew me into a relationship.
Our time is up. I didn't write one thing on my sheet, not one question, and it went by just like that, exactly.
Thanks to Elizabeth.
I had nothing to do with it.
where can they find you on the web?
I have no idea.
touchedbyheaven.net.
That's a good start. Yeah.
Very good. Thanks, guys, for joining us. This is God Calling. Join us next week. This is Paul Orlowski on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.